Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We're getting you ready for Pro Football's Final Four.
You know what it's going to take? 60 minutes of physical football. Our very best.
This is a conference championship week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Our 11 versus their 11 for 60 minutes.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it is on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, or the Party Animals on YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Party on, Party Animals. We're talking Chiefs and Texans here. Seventh straight AFC championship game for the Kansas City Chiefs. That is incredible. They are one behind the New England Patriots, who went to eight straight. I saw the stat that, what is it, for the last 14 years, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes have played in the AFC championship game. Seems pretty good. Seems like a good little stat there.
Not too shabby.
Two good little players there. But the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Houston Texans 23-14. And as much as, and we will talk about the officiating and some of the calls that were egregious, as much as you want to talk about the officiating, the reality is you have to score more than a touchdown to beat Patrick Mahomes in the Kansas City Chiefs. Even when he is not on his A game, you have to score more than a singular touchdown to beat them.
Ah, come on now.
And if you are not going to score more than a touchdown, you are going to have to be better on special teams. Because that was the undoing of the Houston Texans. And it started right off the get-go. I thought it was a huge win for Houston to only allow a field goal on that opening drive. Because the opening kickoff for Houston, you have a 63-yard return. A player throws his helmet, which you tack on 15 more yards to that. And the Kansas City Chiefs start the ball on the 13-yard line. That's not officiating. It's not officiating that that player who threw his helmet went and shoved the special teams coordinator too on the sideline, which was wild to see. But from the get-go, you're like, uh-oh. And the Texans' defense showed up. They played, yeah. They played exceptionally. And it started with only allowing a field goal on that opening drive. But from there, the Texans had plenty of opportunities.
Texans should have won this game.
They could have. They could have.
The way that they got put behind the sticks with sacks. They got put behind the sticks with penalties. And yet they still go 10 of 17 on third downs.
Yeah.
They crank up the yards. Mm-hmm. They throw all over them. They run all over them. The defense comes to play. But it was not mistake-proof football.
No, and the defense held Patrick Mahomes to under 200 yards passing. You held Kansas City running the football to under 75 yards.
Will Anderson and I was an absolute menace.
I will say 75 because I'm going to throw out the Ariza taking the safety and Patrick Mahomes' longer kneel downs where he went backwards and then took the knee. I'm going to throw those ones out there. And it was right around like 75, 80 yards, right? That you allow less than that and less than 200 yards passing. That defense played their butts off.
That's a recipe for success.
Yes, but you have to get sixes. And if you don't get sixes, you better get threes. And
they didn't get those either.
Fairbairn had one blocked field goal, one horribly missed field goal, and he missed an extra point.
There were some missed extra points across the NFL this weekend. I mean, you have more excuse everywhere else because of weather.
I was talking to a buddy about this. Isn't that one of the more egregious things that when they moved the extra point back, they moved it back as far as they did.
Yeah, it was. It's a lot.
Went from moving the ball from the 3 yard line to the 15 yard line. Like we couldn't like mess around with it and be like
10.
Hey, let's go to the 10. It's called an extra point. Mm-hmm. Like it's implied that you're getting an extra point out of it. You know, did we have to move it back this far?
I mean, you had some kickers have a case of the shankopotamuses this weekend across the NFL.
Yeah, weather was a big one in most of them, but.
If it weren't for Jake Elliott, I'd have gone 4-0 this weekend.
I'm babe.
See? Right? Well, I'm looking at that number, and I was talking about this game. This game felt like it was going to be played at like 8 points, right? It was the hook is why I went. 8.5 was why I went with Houston.
Yeah, we both did.
And it was at 8, and then kickers.
Yeah, I mean, you've
kickers.
Got 7 points are gone.
Kickers. But that's the thing. You have got to get points on the board when you're playing Kansas City. This is why, and this is to the, everybody is saying, well, the more disciplined team wins, right? Mm-hmm. And you were talking about this in the break. Warren Sharp's mentions, RIP Warren Sharp's mentions, because boy,
Chiefs
Kansas
fans
City.
Are in there right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Just a more disciplined team. Better coach. But it's like, okay. Guys.
There is an element of, better coach teams, more disciplined teams do have less penalties, right? They do also win these games on the margins because of discipline and better coaching. There were, and everybody is pinpointing the Mahomes thing, right? Because they don't think that either one of the roughing the passer or unnecessary roughness calls should have been called against Patrick Mahomes. I think the first one you look at it and you go, look, anybody that goes high on a bang bang play, yeah, you're probably going to get that one called. And the rules official on the broadcast, he chimed in on the Fox broadcast. Was like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have called it, but you can see why they would. That one, I'll give a pass to. We see that with a lot of quarterbacks everywhere, right? But this is what the sky judge can do in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, guys, you missed that one. The other one I thought was really egregious because this is my problem with Mahomes. In what he does. I think he is the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
But I thought Aikman and Joe Buck, they kind of amplified everything a little bit more with this because they were like, come on, what is this? You know, and Aikman was like egging it on, right? The one thing, the late slide where Mahomes wasn't even touching, two defenders ran into each other. No.
What are we doing here?
That was a late slide.
Mm-hmm.
Second, he didn't get hit. They ran into each other.
Mahomes is the master of baiting that.
Okay. Good pause. Mm. The other one was, they didn't even throw a flag, but it was Mahomes, and he does this on the sidelines where he goats guys into hitting him. Am I going to go out or am I going to stay in? And he does the flop. They didn't throw a flag on it, but this is like, and the Chiefs fans are upset because he didn't even throw a flag. This is why people don't like James Harden.
Yes.
It's
very similar.
It is. Is it against the rules?
It's egregious.
No,
that's the thing.
It's not against the rules, and he's trying to exploit one of the rules. But that doesn't mean we have to like it when
you're
it happens.
You're going to get one of these refs in one of these games who's going to do the same thing to Mahomes that they did to Harden when he's going to get the living crap knocked out of him.
Yeah.
And they're going to go.
Well. But.
Should have been messing around.
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, it's going to happen.
When the data backs up, like, what Sharp is saying of, like, how the discrepancy.
When it's 10 to 1.
10 to 1 is egregious.
That's wild.
That is egregious.
That's wild.
But then you also have situations, like, if I'm a Texans fan, I'm not bringing up the Mahomes stuff outside of the one call where my two defenders ran into each other. That one I would bring up. I would bring up Dalton Schultz with a textbook hip drop tackle against him.
It's
like
it's
why
so
the
bad.
Rule exists.
It's so bad. It's the clip that the NFL is going to send out to every other team and be like, don't do this.
It
was
I'm
a
going,
gator roll, stop, drop, and roll. Like it.
I would be like, yeah, that. That's the one. Look, and you got a big gain on it, but that's the thing is like, tack on the extra yards and move yourself into a better position. Mm-hmm. Like those are the things that you sit there and you go, yeah, that's not where the game is officiated exactly the same. I would also say there was a spot where Texans receiver catches the ball. He crosses over the 15-yard line and like he caught the ball beyond it at like the 14 and he was tackled immediately. At no point did the ball – go back beyond to like the 16-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give him a first down. They moved it back on the other side of this. Like, at no point was he on the other side of that line, yet that's where the spot was. Those are the things that I would be bringing up, not everything about Mahomes, because it's not all about Mahomes.
No.
It's over the course of the game. You're looking at it like, that game was just not very well officiated, and Houston was on the wrong side of it. With that said...
Which we've seen happen against Chiefs opponents
yes,
more than a couple times.
But you also... On drives not affected by it, you didn't get touchdowns.
No, and that's only scored on them.
One touchdown, and it was a masterful drive where they took 10 minutes off the board on their opening drive of the third quarter, mm-hmm. and it was like, that was an incredible drive. You scored a touchdown on that. You miss two field goals, you miss an extra point, and you're not turning sixes into the end zone. You're settling for threes and mm-hmm. not getting those threes. That's why Houston lost.
Yeah.
It wasn't because... solely on the officials.
If you put some points on the board and all of a sudden the Chiefs are chasing points on a game that they weren't productive in.
Yep.
Not only do you probably win, you win.
Mm-hmm.
You win.
Yeah.
But they couldn't do that. And you tip your cap to the Chiefs defense in that regard of, you know, holding things down when it mattered the most.
D'Amico Ryans after the game, he was, oh boy.
Okay, we knew going into this game, man, it was us versus everybody. Right? When I say everybody is everybody, all of whatever. Everybody, the naysayers, the doubt, right? Everybody.
That was a question about officiating.
Mm.
We knew heading into this, it was us versus everybody.
Yeah.
Look, the Chiefs haven't won back-to-back Super Bowls because of the officials. I don't think that the NFL is sitting there saying, we need the Chiefs in.
Nobody wants that outside of Chiefs fans.
I'm not saying that. But
the numbers are the numbers.
Yeah. It's egregious.
Mm-hmm.
And look, Chiefs honk is in. I knew he would. He's already sent us a compilation of Josh Allen flops.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen also does it. You know what mm-hmm. Josh Allen doesn't get? Nearly as many calls.
Yeah. Especially in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I'm not sitting here and I'm not saying Josh Allen doesn't. Josh Allen flops
yes,
too.
He does.
But that should not be your argument as to why.
My guy sucks, but so does his. Like,
as to why your team
yeah.
has statistically gotten 10-1
yeah.
the advantage.
Yeah.
4-1 on roughing the passer calls. Like it's
pretty distinct. Remind me again.
7-1.
Have the Chiefs played the Bills in those games?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
but
weird.
The numbers are pretty egregious. They are pretty, pretty egregious. And it's not one of the things that is, again, holding Kansas City back from winning these games. But holy smokes, if you can't acknowledge it and just say, well, yeah, sometimes we get away with it. That's on you.
Yeah.
The bottom line, Houston didn't play well enough to win.
No.
But the calls were pretty lopsided mm-hmm. in that one. Again.
Both can be true.
Both of them can be true. Both of them can be true. Saturday night, boy, that ended with a thud, but it also gave us quite possibly one of the best rookie years we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Steps up, good pocket. Picked off! Jeremy Chin's got it! That's it! Celebrate like it's 1991! We're going to the NFC Championship game!
This is the Motown, the home of Motown, and tonight they'll be playing the blues, baby!
That is the Washington Commanders Radio Network. I love that call. Was that Bram Weinstein on the call for the, and I think, is it London Fletcher? I think he does it with London Fletcher, too, which is pretty badass. The Washington Commanders are in the NFC Championship game for the first time since 1992, as they said, which now means every team except for the Dallas Cowboys has gone to the conference title game this century. Wrap your head around that one. The Dallas Cowboys are the only franchise in the NFC that has yet to go to a conference championship game this century. This is why I say we should not take them seriously as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
We should not. They need to prove it to us that they can be taken seriously as an organization, because they cannot right now. The NFC North as well, the best division in football, 0-3 in the playoffs.
Kind of crazy.
0-3.
Kind of crazy. Now,
Packers, Vikings, Lions.
All for different reasons, but also all coming back to the quarterback. Sam Darnold turning into a pumpkin, Jordan Love being hurt and not looking like himself and having three egregious throws that you just went, what the hell was that? And then Jared Goff having his worst game maybe as a Lion.
That was not a good night for Jared Goff. He was really bad. Three interceptions.
That was LA Rams Jared Goff.
Yeah. And I was circling back to like Will Howard, right? Will Howard was elite as a game manager in the playoffs. And that's not a bad thing. You can be a really damn good quarterback and very, very, very successful in managing your team and not making the critical mistake. And Jared Goff was bad. A pick six, a pick that ended the half and wiped points off the board for them. His last interception, that was just desperation. You're trying to keep something alive. I'll kind of give him one on that. But on that pick six, dude, people are wondering, like, did he get concussed on that? And maybe is that why he was as bad? But he threw the pick six before that hit happened, and that was an egregious throw, right? He was not good. Jaden Daniels was. That young man has taken another step forward and a leap forward. Like, I don't like dealing in hyperbole and saying he's might be the best quarterback in the NFC.
He's a top five quarterback. I don't think you can argue that.
In the NFL?
Yeah.
I think you can argue top five in the NFL, but in the NFC.
Do it real quick.
All right.
Mahomes,
Allen, Josh Allen,
Lamar
Jackson, Burrow. Joe Burrow.
And then is there an AFC quarterback left better than him if he's the best quarterback in the NFC?
Well, I mean, now you're talking about CJ Stroud is in that conversation as well.
Again, I take Jaden at this point.
Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's crazy as it sounds. As soon as you start doing it, you go, oh,
but I'm
crap,
not definitively going to put him in there because of guys like CJ Stroud. And then guys like he's going to have to play in the NFC Championship game. We can criticize Jalen Hurts all we want. Dude wins.
Yes, but
dude wins.
He has to win a certain way.
Dude wins. I mean, that's the thing is that, like, we've seen Jalen Hurts win at a really high level. And in the NFC, you also have guys like, I would also put Matthew Stafford in there too. Like, the Rams did not lose that game because of Matthew Stafford. No. And he may be getting old, but he still has got it, man. And that's where you go, though, as a rookie, what Jaden Daniels is doing is absolutely incredible.
We've never seen a rookie do this. Not this.
No. And the kind of the numbers that go behind it, we've seen rookies go to conference title games. We've seen them have large amounts of success early in their careers. Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, said rookie quarterbacks to start a title game and where their defenses were ranked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brock Purdy, Mark Sanchez, Joe Flacco, Ben Roethlisberger, Sean King.
Every one of those has an elite defense.
Not one of those guys had a defense ranked in the National Football League outside of the top three. Purdy had number one. Roethlisberger had number one. Sanchez, Flacco, and Sean King each had the third best defenses in the NFL their rookie seasons. The Washington Commanders rank 18th.
Yeah, the middle of the pack.
18th. I mean, they're below halfway. Like, they are not an elite defense, and that's what makes him so impressive is his poise, his control, his command of not just the game while it's going on, but everything around it too. Mm-hmm. That locker room where the hardest thing to do as a rookie quarterback is to get dudes who are in their 30s, who have wives and kids,
to rally,
to say, I'm following that guy, and he's doing it. Like, that's the incredible thing about what Jaden Daniels is doing right now.
We might look, the whole hyperbole thing, I'm throwing it out the window here because we might be seeing an all-timer. Like, he might be an all-timer. Like, we've never seen a rookie do this. And look, when the tape gets out and you get your sophomore year slump and all that kind of stuff and teams adjust to you, I get all that.
Yeah, a lot of, I mean, and to be fair, a lot of people were saying the same things about C.J. Stroud last year, and you can see how quickly, like, NFL defensive coordinators are really damn good.
But the one thing that Stroud, look, Stroud is mobile. He's not Jaden Daniels.
Right.
Jaden Daniels is a real threat to tuck it and go. Now, that's also the same thing that could be his undoing because he weighs a buck 90, and that man might die if he gets hit. But he is, for all of the things we talk about with Lamar, he's so much more advanced than Lamar as a passer.
As a passer.
At his age. Hell, he might be more advanced than Lamar right now as a passer. That's the scary thing.
But aren't they the same age? Because Lamar's just perpetually
like 20, 26.
In his early mid-20s. Yeah. He's still not 30.
Yeah. No, he just turned 29. Or did he just...
I have no idea.
I think he just turned 29.
He's not 30,
or just turned 28. One or the other. Either way, he's young as hell. But I don't think we've ever seen
he's just turned 28.
Yeah.
Just turned 28. God.
But that's the crazy thing is, like, this evolution of that dual threat quarterback, it's become, yeah, they can run like there's no tomorrow, but also they're insane passers.
Jane Daniels is 24.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's why these guys are going to be sticking around in college longer, right? Look at the rookies that had success this year. They're guys that they stuck through it and they went through it. And there's going to be that. I mean, if you look at Daniels, Nix, Penix, they're not young guys, right?
No, they didn't come out early.
No, they are the ones that stuck around, have seen a lot of football, have played a lot of snaps, have gotten a lot of starts, and seen a lot of different defenses. And that's huge. Mm-hmm. But what Jane Daniels is doing outside of everything is absolutely
crazy.
He's
shattering the mold.
It came out like, right as the game was winding down. Did you see the VR thing with Jane Daniels? So Jane Daniels is using virtual reality, and that was like one of the things that he wanted to make sure that the Commanders were on board with.
Is this like the thing that Orlovsky uses?
No, it's like an actual VR headset.
Well, yeah, no.
That he throws on, and I guess he can play and process at like 1.75 speed of the game.
Like, oh, so it speeds it up.
It speeds. He's training his brain at 1.75 speed. And so he uses like VR to help him process, make reads quicker, do all that stuff.
I mean, it's not a one-to-one comp, but we do the same thing in the military when we have layouts and stuff like that. We'll use we'll use VR to know like how to progress, ingress and egress in and out of a building or something like that.
So
it makes sense.
The company that makes this stuff, I apparently he was using it at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
The company that makes this, they built it for soccer, and they needed to like have a breakthrough with it, and they're like, maybe football, and so it's probably going to be a company we should all invest in.
Yeah, no, I mean, it this kind of stuff makes sense. It's same as it sounds. There's been a bunch of studies that have been done in the last couple of years that tie just regular video games to cognitive function because it's all about processing.
So they use speed manipulation in this thing. Everything runs at 1.75 speed, so defenses move faster than they do in real life. Your brain adapts to heightened pace, and the real games feel slower. Then you have cognitive rewiring. 250 to 300 extra snaps per week is what he's taking, which are thousands of mental repetitions that go through and zero physical toll on your body. Mm-hmm. It's pure neural adaptation is what they say.
Makes sense.
It's pretty crazy, huh? Yeah.
No, I mean, it should be a thing that literally every quarterback does. It's the complete opposite of Jamarcus Russell watching the blank DVD.
That's right. That's right. Film matters. Repetitions matter. And Jane Daniels, man, he is really damn fun.
Yes.
And that, to me...
Fun and good.
Yeah.
So it's a fun combination.
I'm really excited. I hope we do have another generational core. I think this draft class, this is going to be a really good one moving forward.
Might be one of those 83 classes.
But there's so much that they can't control, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Where you go.
If Cliff Kingsbury leaves and he ends up taking a head coaching job at some point, right? what does that do to his regression? What happens when NFL teams start to really adapt to what he does? But, and that's on the Commanders. And this is the fun part about the Commanders. They're so much more fun.
Yeah.
Now that Daniel Snyder is gone, just mm-hmm. to see how quickly the stink of that franchise has gotten off of Dan Snyder, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And like, that does go to, and I know this is, you're going to hate me for saying this, ownership matters.
No, it does.
Ownership matters, but there's also, because culture matters.
There's levels of suck, because the flip side is just down the road in Carolina.
Yeah.
That's new ownership too.
Dysfunctional ownership can drive your team into the mm-hmm. ground. It can drive everybody that is on the field directly into the ground. Dan Snyder may never talk to some of the players on the field, but they feel the drip of the culture.
Yeah, because of the people that are upstairs that dealt with it. The stuff that we heard when we were in D.C. about Dan Snyder was out of pocket crazy.
Josh Harris is seemingly letting football people make football decisions. The new GM who they got from from San Francisco, who came over, he appears to have lined up a pretty good first draft class that he got for them moving forward. Dan Quinn making solid hires up and down.
A retread staff, coach who everybody questioned.
And remember Ben Johnson, who just took the Bears job. Remember what one of the big reasons why he didn't take this Commanders job last mm-hmm. year was? A bunch of basketball people in there, and he wasn't sold on the direction that they would go. They wanted to treat it like a basketball organization. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? They just got out of the way. They're letting the football people handle that side of it.
And you wonder how much of that
succeeding
of being told that made them shift.
Yeah, that's one of the things with Ben Johnson's hiring in his interviews. Mm-hmm. Apparently, like, he was, when he would meet with a team, he would want them to basically admit where their shortcomings were mm-hmm. and where they failed previously and how they
being able to recognize that
stuff. Do they have a plan to, what are we going to do so this doesn't happen again? And maybe that was the thing last year with the Commanders, just because they weren't there long enough.
No.
Right? Like, they were probably there like, dude, we don't know. We just got here too.
Yeah. So shouts to them if that, you know, kind of led to a course correction.
And a backwards hat head coach, you know. Dan Quinn, going to drive Colin Cowherd crazy having his hat backwards on the sideline.
Coming next is our worst day on the web. What would you do if you found out the government said you were dead?
Oh.
Yeah, enjoy that one. Ponder that one real quick. First,
whatever
it's
I want.
The Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
This is a Conference Championship Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Well, here's your lesson in government efficiency. A woman, Nicole Polino, discovered she was registered as deceased when she went to renew her license because a funeral home entered the wrong social security number.
Dang, that seems like an oversight.
Yikes, dog. So for those that don't know about how this works, when you die, the funeral home or the coroner, whoever it is that processes your death, as long as you're not a Jane or John Doe, sends a form that gets sent out to the government, most specifically the IRS. The IRS then sends out a deceased person report, and that impacts all of your government stuff. That means your driver's license, your birth certificate, your voter registry, your insurance, everything. Basically, every bank accounts, everything that is tied to your Social Security number goes bloop, deceased. So, unfortunately, this woman not only could not get her driver's license, but her health insurance was canceled in the midst of getting medical treatment that she was paying for insurance through for her family members. So she racked up insane medical bills, couldn't get a driver's license, had to go through this entire process and prove that she was alive, which not easy to do if you've been pronounced dead.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a lot of loopholes that you need to jump through there. Because, like, to the DMV, you just being like, no, but I'm here. They're going to be like, yeah, but no, you're dead.
No, the computer says you're dead, so you're dead.
Yeah, this says you're dead, so sorry.
Yeah, I don't think the DMV's got the bedside manner that you're looking for.
Yeah, where do you go? Like, do you
got to go to the IRS and the Social Security office, both of them.
That's where you're going to start. Huh? I would say Social Security is where I start. And I'm like, hey, look, I'm not dead.
Well, here's the thing. You better have the birth certificate with the fingerprints and the footprints because you got to get verified. And if it's basically the only way to verify you are who you are at this point.
I would just say, no, you guys screwed up. I get to start fresh. Well, name myself.
Screw my parents. I get a new name and a new Social Security number.
All right. What
also, clean credit.
I would like my name to be Billy Badass and
Major. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, God. I can't remember what show it is.
I will.
My dad was a bit of a smart ass, and he named me Major. He said, first name Major, middle name Major, and of course, my surname is Major. He goes, but it's a military thing. And he goes, you're Sergeant Major, Major. He goes, I can't stand for that. And he promotes him to actual Major, so he's not Sergeant Major.
Yeah, I can't imagine how I could have missed that and why I don't think it's nearly as funny as you do.
Come on, it's great. It's great.
Love it. That is some niche military humor there.
That is. It's good. But, I mean, do you get to start with a clean credit report?
I think so.
Right? If you got a criminal history, does it go away too? Asking for no one in particular?
I think you just get no counties.
Right?
That guy's dead. Yeah. I'm new here.
Write these down for later.
They're like, well, you got to go back to kindergarten. Then you have a whole Billy Madison thing where you got to like go back to school. That would suck. But, that seems like a headache I wouldn't want to deal with. And then it should be easier than what it probably is for this woman, in that she should just be able to go to the funeral home and be like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And then they can be like, oh, yeah, that's our bad. We'll deal with this. Instead, just like when somebody steals your identity, all of a sudden you're the one that has to have all the fallout with it and deal with everything. You shouldn't be the one. Like, you didn't do this to yourself,
but you're the
one that has to clean it all up.
The Social Security Administration told NBC4 Washington, which is where the report originates, its records were highly accurate, and then less than 0.33% of the more than 3 million death reports they receive annually were later corrected. So if you're doing the math, more than 10,000 people a year this happens to.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're like, well, I mean, it's less than 1%. Sure, go ahead and be the less than 1% and see how you feel about this, because this is the attorney that's fighting this for this woman right now. It says this happens on almost a daily basis, and it's the impact is the worst impact that you can have on your credit report.
Oh, yeah, I bet. And so their credit is screwed.
Yeah, because it crashes. It's no longer registrable. Because you're dead.
So even if, like, I think what would be worse is, like, if you are a person with awful credit, you're probably okay with this happening. You're like, well, maybe we start with cleansies. But what if you built up great credit?
Yeah, you got like a 750 plus credit score.
You're a dependable, reliable member of society. And then they're like,
just drop a nuke
and
on
it's
you?
It's absolutely nothing that you did. Nothing that you did. It's a mistake somebody else made, and it will affect you for years to come. That sucks. We need this to stop.
Yeah.
Or, as Texter says, isn't the term burned? Maybe she's a secret CIA or MI6 agent.
I don't think you'd go to the news station to proclaim this. Although it would be a really good cover. Also, if you saw her, I don't think she's a lioness.
Well, that's why it's at least suspecting.
Yeah.
You know, there's a thing for everybody.
No, there is.
You know, maybe there's an evil dictator somewhere that,
look,
you know.
I know some folks who worked in the spook world who you would not think worked in that particular world based on how they looked.
Yeah.
For sure.
See?
Not everybody's out there looking like Pierce Brosnan. In fact, most of them aren't.
See? You gotta slay some dragons and get to the princess. Maybe that's the way that it happens sometimes. Like, some of these guys are like, no.
Oh, God. Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. All right, so there you go. That's our worst day on the web. All right, come up next. We got to talk a lot of football. Let's sneak a little bit more in here with the Bears making the right decision. Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan. Yesterday afternoon, the Chicago Bears did the thing. They did the thing that they should do. Hire the best offensive mind on the market in Ben Johnson, the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator. It was made official. He came into the building today to raucous applause.
Do you think Caleb Williams was apprehensive about whether or not this actually happened? Because he got prank called by some teenagers that got his number?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
A couple of teens, and I don't know how they got Caleb Williams' phone number, but they got his number and were texting him as if they were Ben Johnson. And then they set up a FaceTime with him.
They hit him with like that. Got him!
Now he had to change his number. So I bet he was a little, you know, hesitant to be like, hey, is this real or not?
I did see that he liked the official announcement on Instagram.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
That's how you know the Gen Zers are in
Instagram, not hiding likes.
Announcement. No? Does Twitter?
Yeah. Oh. Twitter hides likes.
Oh, on who likes things?
Yeah, you can see your own, but yeah, basically Elon got caught liking an Insta or a Twitter thought.
Oh,
and
then he just got rid of it.
Mm-hmm, basically,
sounds about right.
Yeah.
Good hire though for the Bears.
Great hire.
They're gonna have to go through it. Like, look, Jared Goff played horrible in the NFC Championship game. I don't think it was Ben Johnson why they lost.
No,
he didn't have his greatest game. But at the same time, he was pretty damn creative.
The toss shovel instead of a shovel toss.
Well, no, it's usually you run toss shovel, but you just fake the toss.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible, yeah. And that was not like something that you put in this week, and then we're gonna run it. No, it's been there
for a while.
They've holstered that one for a long time. One of the ballsiest calls, mm-hmm. though. I mean, you would talk about in a world where hand-to-hand handoffs are, I don't know if we want to have anybody except for our quarterback handing off the ball, yeah. Unless we're a wing T team.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, just toss it to him and he
Ford
can toss
pitch
it.
In traffic.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, by the way, we're not going to block this guy. So there's going to be a 300-pound man in your face. Just get that one off.
Yeah.
Incredible play.
Yeah.
He is a really
He's a mad scientist.
Offensive mind. I was worried about whether or not he had like that it to command a room. Just because we didn't know anything about him.
No.
His entrance into the Hallis Hall was incredible. I hope he does really well. And now we're going to start seeing all these hires start to fall in line. And really, it leaves big questions in Detroit on where they can go from here. Because, look, you can hire another great offensive mind, but you're not going to get another Ben Johnson. And that's going to be the hard one for Dan Campbell, is who does he bring in to keep this offense humming, where you got weapons on weapons on weapons. You got one of the best offensive lines in all of football.
There's no shortage of people who want that job.
Oh, no. There's going to be a lot that want it. But can you be as creative? Can you have that right sauce to be as good as you were the past couple of seasons? That's going to be a big hit for Detroit, especially because he's going to be in division. So he's going to be sitting there going like, all right, you want to know how you screw with Jared Goff? I got X, Y, and Z because I had to cover for his shortfalls the entirety of my time with him. We can be a disruptor in the NFC North. Their biggest issue, though, in Chicago is going to be you can have a great play caller. If you don't have an offensive line, doesn't matter.
Who was the last coach for the Bears to be an offensive-minded coach? Trestman?
Yeah, Mark Trestman.
There's not Eberflus, not Nagy, not Fox.
Nagy is an offensive coordinator. He was Andy Reid's offensive coordinator, and he back is to being
That's
Andy Reid's offensive coordinator.
I guess he is.
It was Nagy, Trestman. They tried to bring guys in, but
other than that, I mean, it's Smith, Jaron, Wonstedt, Ditka. I mean, it's all defense.
Yeah,
all the way through. God,
what's the Bears?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
What they do,
but that's what I mean. Like this is like this feels like a real instead of going after the Aaron Glenn type, which. Again, I think Glenn's going to be a great coach, but I think you needed to make a real pivot.
Well, and I mean, it doesn't matter who your coach is if you don't have a quarterback, too. Yeah.
And I think
you have a solid foundation in Caleb Williams that you can build off of.
I think that was a deciding factor in going to Chicago.
Oh, 100%.
Like, you look around, like, the different jobs, that's that's the one where you're most comfortable.
It sure sounds like the interest that he had in the Raiders was kind of one-sided by the Raiders because you don't lose a game and then the next day be hired as the head coach if it was a hard decision to make.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's tough out here.
But it does show, though, you know, everybody, all the reporting was, as it pertains to the Raiders, was that, like, Tom Brady, he wasn't even going to listen, but Tom Brady got into his ear. That's going to help try to turn things around in Vegas. We'll see if it's successful, though.
All right, coming up next, we'll keep it in the NFL. You want to talk about the Rams-Eagles, or you want to go Bills-Ravens?
All of it.
All of it.
We'll hit all of it.
We'll hit them both here. Coming up next here, now, number 3, and Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.